Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, while all the attention of the EU is currently taken up with a former member to the west, there's also significant trouble brewing with a current member in the east. Last week, a Polish court effectively rejected the primacy of EU law in Poland. The ruling was in relation to an assertion from the EU that the independence of the Polish judiciary has been undermined by recent legislation there. Another move in direct contravention with EU norms. Ronan McRae is a professor of constitutional and European law at University College London, and he joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Ronan.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Could you start by explaining this ruling in Poland last week and the significance of it?
Right. Okay. So there's been a dispute between Poland and the EU for years now about the Polish government undermining the independence of the judiciary in Poland, doing various things. They could punish judges who made rulings against them and things like that. Mm. So a case went to the European Court of Justice, which ruled that because EU law requires national judges to uphold EU law, the EU requires that judges are independent. And that means that these changes made to the Polish judicial system violate EU law. So when that ruling came back down to the Polish Constitutional Tribunal, it's called, their constitutional court, they said this goes beyond the scope of powers of EU law, the organization of the judicial system in Poland, so we are not recognizing the primacy of EU law. And the primacy of EU law is where there's a clash. If there's a clash between national law and EU law, EU law says EU law has to take precedence, because otherwise the single market can't work, because if every country has their own rules and if they clash with EU rules, they give primacy to their own rules, then the whole system will break down. So the Polish court said, in this case, we don't accept the primacy of EU law. And that's what created this shocked reaction in the EU, because people are worried that this is the start of a slow unravelling of the EU system.
And in terms of that specific judgment, that's the end of it. You can't go to anywhere else, an arbiter, for instance, who's going to sort this out.
No, but what they can do is the European Commission can take them back to take a case against Poland to the European Court. And the European Court can say, after a few hearings, but if they find that Poland is not coming into line with its EU obligations, they can impose a recurring indefinite daily fine on Poland. Mm. That will payable until Poland brings its law, ends its non-compliance with EU law. But whether the Polish government will just take the fine and pay it is something we don't know. Whether they will actually change, because who knows? But there is, there's no further appeal from the Polish Constitutional Tribunal.
And the idea that the primacy of EU law, that's by agreement. I take it it's no more than that.
It's funny because it's not actually in the treaty explicitly. So what happened was, back in the 1960s, the European Court of Justice interpreted the treaty as requiring member states to give primacy to EU law. Now, that wasn't in the treaty at the time explicitly, but everyone who's joined since 1964 has known that that's how the court was interpreting the treaty. So it is an established fact of EU law. However, it is also true that there have been other cases in which national courts often have hinted that they might not always give primacy to EU law, but until recently they've always given primacy to EU law in any case before them. They've said we might not in some extreme circumstances, but they always have. Mm-hmm. However, a year ago, the German Constitutional Court did the same thing. And way over, they refused to accept European Court ruling about the limits of the European Central Bank's powers to buy government bonds. Now, that was a much narrower ruling, and they got around it in various ways. But the problem is, in principle, Germany has done the same thing, and that really undermines the EU's ability to hit back hard against Poland.
That could have a potentially a huge unraveling effect on European law in general.
Absolutely, because the reason the EU is different from, say, the World Trade Organization or the UN is that its law is enforced in national courts by national judges. So normally, with international law, you have to go try and get your state to make a complaint or just get the state to voluntarily comply with some international ruling that they've breached their treaty obligations. But in EU law, you can go to the local district court and they will enforce EU law for you. That's why the EU is so much more powerful than other international organizations. But that relies on voluntary cooperation, effectively, of national judges. And if they stop, if countries like Poland, the judges stop giving primacy to EU law, it's not like the United States. You know, in the United States, when the states, say, in the Deep South refuse to abide by Supreme Court rulings to desegregate schools and universities, they could send in the National Guard and force them. There's no EU National Guard. It's a voluntary system to some degree. And we've got so used to it, we just expect this system to keep going. But we realize now how vulnerable it is. It could actually be the start of the unraveling of the EU legal system unless something is done.
And is this of a piece, Ronan, with other changes that have taken place in particularly in Hungary and Poland, where, you know, the way they do things, their democratic norms are kind of moving away from the European model?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that back in the optimistic 1990s, you know, the Iron Curtain fell and everybody thought, oh, well, sure, you know, once you become a democracy, you never go back, you know, like that. Who doesn't love liberal democracy? So nobody in 1995 was thinking that like Hungary or Poland, having become democracies, liberal democracies, would start moving away from that. But sadly, history doesn't have a direction. You know, when people say you're on the wrong side of history, bad news, history doesn't have a side. It's actually much more backwards and forwards and flows rather than having a direction. And, you know, sometimes countries become liberal democracies and then drift away from it. But the EU didn't realize that back in 1995. And so they didn't give themselves powers to react properly when a member state, someone who's already a member state, starts abandoning key EU values. Mm. So we've been stuck for 10 years trying to get Poland and Hungary to stop doing these things and failing. Because EU law requires, if you're going to punish a member state, all the other member states have to agree to do it. And so Poland will protect Hungary and Hungary will protect Poland. The punishment never happens. They do have some leverage, but they have to really want to use that.
Right. And when you say they would want to have to, are we talking the Commission or the, you know, the 27 would all have to, well, not the 27, obviously, if you're taking against one or two members?
Well, both. So the Commission has got better in recent years. I think people hoped the problem would go away initially and then it didn't. Now, the Commission has upped its game and they've started taking cases to the European Court. But we see if the judges don't follow the rulings, then there's not much you can do. Mm. There's all the big thing they have now, the rule of law mechanism, the thing they brought in last year, and that allows them to suspend funding if there's a threat to the EU budget from a lack of judicial independence. But Hungary and Poland threatened to block the whole EU budget unless they put in wording into that law that made it quite hard to use. But I think we do have some leverage here, because what the Commission, I mean, Poland is due to get over 50 billion in coronavirus funds. Now, the Commission can just sit on their plans and refuse to approve them. And it's true that might not be in line with the legislation, but Poland, if they want to dispute that, will have to take the Commission to what court? The European Court of Justice, the court they have just poked in the face. So, you know, the Commission could easily decide to kind of sit on Poland's application for those 50 billion euro and just dare Poland to bring them before the European Court of Justice. They have the fine the court can impose on Poland. And the other thing is the EU, the great strength of the EU is it has its fingers in so many pies. So in any week in Brussels, they'll be making decisions on regional subsidies, employment law, agricultural standards, anything like that. And at some stage in the next few months, there'll be loads of times where Poland has things they want to get out of the EU. And if the other member states are really determined to make Poland pay, every time Poland wants subsidies for their turnip farmers or some compensation scheme for their forest logger or something, they can say no. So they can over time inflict a lot of pain on Poland, but they need to have the political determination to do that.
Yeah. Is there a danger with that, though, Ronan, that, you know, if you keep punishing Poland and Hungary for these kinds of actions, it reaches a point where they can say, well, we're not getting anything from the EU. So they're able to sour the image of the EU among their own electorate. And then you potentially have more Brexit situations.
I mean, the EU is lucky in that the two countries who are kind of the boldest boys and girls in the class are both massive recipients of EU money. And 80% of Polish people want to stay in the EU. So they won't leave. In fact, almost it'd be less damaging if they did leave, because you can do a lot more damage from the inside than the outside.
Yeah.
So they won't leave, but they can. What they can do is create paralysis within the EU, because there's a lot of areas, say like the budget, where every single member state has to vote in favour. So they could block the budget every year if they wanted. So but as I said, the EU can inflict a slow death of 1,000 cuts by just saying no to everything you want over time. Now, the problem is member states have to really be determined that there is a real threat to the union here, and they have to decide that if Poland is going to undermine the union in this way, they're not going to get the benefits of membership. But that's a big call, because, you know, Poland can trade favours. Member states don't like to make trouble for each other. So who knows? I mean, I think this is a slow death of EU law unless they do something big. So I think they do need to make Poland pay some kind of price for this, politically as well as legally.
Yeah, there is a sense that the tail might be wagging the dog a bit.
A bit, yeah. And, you know, the good thing is Polish people are dying to be EU members. They get a lot of money out of it. Strategically, they don't want to be left facing Russia outside the European family. They have, you know, traumatic history of all that. So, you know, the EU does have some sticks, but they have to have the development. They have developed a serious political will to use them.
Yeah. Ronan McRae is Professor of Constitutional and European Law at University College London. Ronan, thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.